Hey, Pro Nerds, it's Iggy here at the 8th Annual Front Range Film Festival in Longmont, Colorado, and I'm hanging out with Jakes and Martin, the filmmakers attending this wonderful festival for Apex Survival. How are you guys doing?
Iggy, we're doing great, thanks.
Great, awesome. Thanks great. For having us.
Yeah, I just met these guys today. I've never met Martin before. Don't know who this person is. Never been to his house or anything like that. No, it's awesome because one of the cool things about, before we get into the film, one of the cool things about doing these local events is you run into people you know. And it's just great seeing other creative individuals that we've been able to connect with before. So really excited about
that. Couldn't agree
more. Awesome. So tell us a little bit about Apex Survival and what it's doing here at the Longmont Film or the Front Range Film Festival.
Yeah, well, Apex really is a show that, you know, is designed to bring attention as to the disappearance of the great white sharks in the South African waters. And kind of have several different story arcs. One is the, you know, why and what is happening to the great white sharks? Why are they disappearing? But then also we have a story arc that deals about strong, independent women. We have Ocean Ramsey, who's probably one of the world's preeminent shark experts. She free dives outside of a cage with great white sharks. And in the pilot episode, which is what we're showing here, Ocean teaches the Australian freediving champion, Julia Wheeler, how to dive outside of the cage with a great white shark, along with Tanya, who's a South African conservationist and actress. So it's a story about sharks. It's a story about passion, at the end of the day, about people really caring about these animals. And, you know, sort of one of the fascinating things about these sharks are that, you know, they've been around for 250 million years. And us humans have been around for, you know, sort of the better part of 250,000 years. So, and we are wiping them out. We think that by a lot of scientific studies that there are probably less than 100 great whites left Wow. in South African waters from thousands not so long ago. And that's the storyline that we're trying to show the strong women, how they interact and how, you know, and the misunderstanding, you know, of these great creatures that are out there.
Well, that's my first reaction there too, is like when you talk about them free diving in there with it, and I know we were talking earlier, you're on this boat and you just see these people jump into the water. Like, I can imagine, like you said, this misunderstanding, or whether it is an even understanding, just, okay, y'all are getting, we'll be on this boat. Like, how do you feel when that happens? Like, was there a lot of nerves on the boat that were kind of like some unsteadiness, or was everybody just, hey, this is part of the gig, let's get it done?
No, I mean, I think it's part of the journey of creating an understanding. It's not just jumping in. It's not quite that simple. I mean, it's getting comfortable. We go out with a gentleman by the name of Mike Rutson, who's like the OG shark man. And Mike is old school. He's been doing it, like, you know, started running the cage dive operations in South Africa, one of the very first operators to do that. And Ocean is sort of like the new school. She's more of the conservationist. And the journey is how Tanya and Julia face their fears. In fact, we have a scene in a powerful scene. And Julia's standing on the side of the boat, and she says, you know, I'm not going to jump in with the sharks until I'm ready. And we're trying to kind of convey that our fears are based on a lack of understanding of these animals. And as you grow and as you become comfortable, and the more knowledge you have, the less fearful you are of the white sharks.
Right. I think animals, so many other things that so many of our fears are based on, that the lack of knowledge. So did you feel you picked up quite a bit being out there, like learned a lot about them yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I've yes. The answer is, you know, Ocean is very experienced with white sharks, but I grew up in the South African waters and, you know, as a young kid, saw my first great white shark, probably at the age of, you know, your kids. And the amazing thing to me that as part of that encounter was the shark didn't eat me, which was sort of a preconception that I had at that time. But, you know, and I think that's sort of a lot of people that unless you really kind of encounter it, unless you really know about it, you know, you have that fear. That's brought on by shows like Shark Week and Jaws, and we touch on that you know, these shows have created this incredible fear, and Shark Week is one of the shows that are most watched, and the reason people watch it is because the we know that the producers and the networks, they want to see teeth. You know, that's eyeballs.
Right.
And we sort of tell a different story. You know, we try to paint the sharks not as these fearless monsters, but more as smart, intelligent, and Ocean really personifies that. She's really passionate about it. And that's sort of her purpose in life. And that's just one of the story arcs is, you know, following your passion for conservation.
Yeah.
And we also try and show it through beauty and through a positive communication of that mission of Jake's and ours to protect the great whites. Instead of doing the shockumentary style and showing the teeth and, oh, it's dangerous, showing the beauty of it and still obviously approaching this very touchy subject that they're missing, they're disappearing. But still, we're trying to show that, and you can walk out of after watching it with a smile on your face instead of just the, oh my God, the world is going to shit, right? Like they wouldn't do that. So,
right.
So I think we're just trying to approach it in a little bit different manner than, for example, Shark Week, which is not what we believe the right message is.
Yeah, so. Perfect. So Martin, you're here in Colorado.
I am.
How do you get on board editing a project like this that's filming in South Africa and everything like that?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. Well, Jake's is also here in Colorado.
And so that helps.
Yes, and through my wife, lovely Amy sitting over here, we met Jake's, and he was in the need of an editor, really. And I had worked on my own YouTube work for quite a while, and we thought we were a good match in style and what we believed this documentary should be. So we worked on it together and got it to a joint vision, I would say, and I'm pretty happy with the current results.
Awesome. You mentioned, you kind of said pilot episodes. Are you looking to make this a series or is this a kind of a one-off?
Yeah, no, we totally set on creating a series. You know, it's positioned right now to be both. It's both a pilot and a standalone full feature length docu. So we have a plan to follow kind of as part of the larger series. What we've done is we've researched the movements of the great white sharks. And, you know, in the southern tip, in the great white shark capital of the world called Hans Bay, we've got tracking data of a great white moving up the coast of Mozambique. And so we have a catamaran, and we want to follow this very specific path of the great white, and we know that some great whites disappear along the way, and really kind of explain, but take people on a journey of the movement of these sharks, because, you know, part of the problem with white sharks are they roam the oceans. They're not limited to any specific geographical area. So we have data on great whites moving from South Africa all the way to Australia and back, but there's a very specific pattern of movement up the coast of Mozambique, and it's probably one of the most, the coastline between Mozambique and Madagascar, it's very, very rough, it's still very rugged. And we also telling stories of the people that live by its shores and their interaction with the ocean and ultimately by the white sharks that really is critical to determining the health of the oceans.
For sure.
And so we want to tell kind of a Anthony Bourdain-like locational stories as part of each episode. So our content formula focuses not only on the sharks, which is sort of the central component, the strong independent women, Julia, Tanya, and Ocean, but then also on the people, the local people, and their cool relationship with the ocean and how kind of codependent everything else is.
Right, I'm on board with the Anthony Bourdain reference there. I mean, totally in for it. So it tells a little bit, so it sounds like you were on a boat quite a bit there, I guess, for filming this. You mentioned your daughters had joined you on this journey as
yes.
well, too. So how long did this take? How much time did you spend on that boat, and even how frequently you were on it?
Yeah, so kind of it's like one of those deals where our plans, we had everything really mapped out perfectly. What we're going to do, how we're going to show stories of the ragged-toothed sharks and how they interact with the white sharks. And then South African waters, you've got some weather. And we had these massive storms that just kept coming in. And the boat that we have called the HQ2, she was sitting up in Natal, which is north, and just simply couldn't make these different systems, like little hurricanes coming up. So we had to improvise, and we threw a lot of kind of the playbook just out of the window and just kind of, like you say, just run and gun it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were lucky in some ways. We came across a pod of super dolphins that, I mean, a super pod of dolphins, of spinner dolphins, common dolphins. And, you know, I'd say that was pretty spectacular, you know, swimming with those that we captured. And we tell the story about the communications and sort of the relationship of dolphins and sharks a little bit. And we came across some pretty cool southern right whales that also kind of was endangered. And the story there that we communicate is like, if you take care of nature, it'll come back. But, you know, one of my favorite kind of interactions, and when nature comes at it, it's, you can plan all you want to, but things come at you.
Right.
And we were out and we were swimming with, you know, I would say probably 150 Cape Fur seals, which is the favorite food of the sharks. And we tried to show, and Martin did a great job at that, was how the dolphins and the swimmers look very, very much alike. But the sharks are so smart that they can distinguish between dolphins, especially when the water is not too murky. Between fur seals and people. But there was a shark in the neighborhood. And, you know, it was kind of a cool interaction, and the harmony, I think, that we, through the, you know, Martin's great editing, captured sort of the harmony between the Cape Fur seals and the humans in the water and how playful they are. But then there are the sharks there that sort of, that's their common food source.
Right.
And we also show the imbalance, what happens when you take the sharks out of the equation. So it's a lot of these things sort of just happen.
Perfect.
Including our plans that, you know, completely got, and we didn't have the Nat Geo budget to stay out there for 2 years.
Yeah,
so,
you had to work with what you could. Now, I believe, so Martin, Adventure Calls, right, is your your documentary series. So obviously great stuff. I've watched a lot of it on YouTube with nature and everything like that. How do you feel that experience, the nature and all that stuff, helped you kind of just be able to kind of, it sounds almost seamless, kind of just jump in here and y'all to get the same.
There's a lot of that vision, for right? sure going on, because it is very much in the same genre. On Adventure Calls, we have also very much, we explore animals and human interaction and tribal cultures and all these different things. And we have been scuba divers for years and years as well. Both Amy and I are scuba dive instructors and have spent thousands of hours underwater. So we can relate. For sure. We have also went down to South Africa to cage dive with the great whites and have great love for them. So
it's gave you a little bit better of an eye to
yes.
help to jump.
I would say so, yeah. And it just an instant passion for it. As soon as I heard of the project, like, I want in.
Right.
Like, I want to help save the sharks.
Perfect.
And like, it's a documentary series about the search for a solution to a problem that we can't ignore. But doing it in a positive way instead of forcing people to save the shark, showing why they should.
Right. You know? Perfect. So obviously it's showing here at the Front Range Film Festival. By the time our fans check this out, it'll be gone. Where else can our fans maybe pick it up in the future? Are you showing it anywhere else? Is it available online, or are we still working out those details?
I would say we're right now in Berlin at the European Film Market.
Okay.
But we're still working out the details, you know, trying to find the right partner, because our message is very much anti-Shark Week and anti-Shark Fest.
Right.
So, and we actually take them on, heads on.
We have to make sure it gets the right home.
We've got to find the right home.
Well, Disney, I mean, you did name drop Nat Geo already. So, I mean, if you guys are listening, because I know they're big fans of us, so I don't know. Maybe they can pick you up, but awesome. Well, where can, I guess in the meantime, while you're still figuring this out, where's the best place to find you all online or anything so that fans can keep an eye and see where they can eventually pick it up?
On honestonmedia.com and the Instagram to go with that.
And also Ocean has a pretty active, Ocean Ramsey has a very active Instagram presence, and you know, Ocean is very much part of our team. And
you should absolutely check out who she is. She's quite the force to deal with. She's a gigantic Instagrammer, but she is bar none the most important character in shark conservation in the world, as far as I see it.
Awesome.
And she's really cool. She's absolutely fearless because she believes there's nothing to fear. And so far is proving pretty successful with that.
Well, that's good. That's good. Sounds like it's working out.
But well, awesome. She's really cool. So.
Well, guys, it was great running into you at the show. Really looking forward to it. Apex is obviously, we'll get all those links up there on the interview with you so you can check it out in the meantime. But Jakes, Martin, thank you again.
Siggy, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Enjoy the rest of the festival. And for our fans, check this out and check out everything else we're covering here at the Front Range Film Festival here at Longmont, Colorado. Oh.